Here is where the battle is the hottest today. If we don't speak on them, who will?
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What do you stand to lose when media monopolies censor Christians? Today on Truths That Transform, we go behind the scenes with Lila Rose as she describes how her exposés on Planned Parenthood have faced resistance in the new media.
We've definitely seen some challenges over the years working with Google, working with Facebook. We've had YouTube videos mysteriously get pulled from our YouTube channel.
And we'll take a probing look at the media gatekeepers who censor Christians.
Their goal is to vilify us, to silence us, and to snuff us out. Or to quote the Southern Poverty Law Center, to destroy us.
We're lifting the lid on the hidden censorship of Christians and conservatives on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Tolerance once meant putting up with opposing viewpoints. But in recent years, the definition has changed. The new tolerance is quite different. Today, either you agree with every left-wing viewpoint, or you are deemed a hater. As a result, Christians and conservatives are now being muzzled in the world's largest marketplace of ideas solely because of their biblical viewpoint. Later in this program, you will meet a woman who has been directly censored by YouTube because of her pro-life position. And we will share a new resource with you exposing this growing threat to freedom and giving you steps to counter it. As we begin, Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute is an attorney doing vital work in America's court system to defend the religious liberty of Christians. I recently sat down with Brad to discuss this latest assault on the freedoms of speech and religion and the agenda behind it.
We're seeing a new level of censorship among internet technology companies, Google, YouTube, Facebook, shutting down speech, arguing that they're not at all required to ensure free speech of all Americans on their platforms, their private platforms. This is a little bit of a concern in that as they have reached a critical mass in the marketplace, they dominate a good portion of the news, for example. Something like 63% of all millennials get their news from Facebook. And if Facebook is going to control the flow of the news and not allow free speech, are we headed to a difficult place for speech if these internet technology companies are not reined in?
This is extremely dangerous for those of us who have any appreciation for freedom of speech. You know, in the colonial days, and I'm not sure my nation's history, you had the public square. That was the forum for speech. And the First Amendment gave clear protection for these traditional public forums. Well, now things have shifted. Now, the place for expression, for discourse, for speech, it's in social media. And if these conglomerates go down this road of deciding to no longer respect the free speech forums that these have become, and instead use these in ways to control speech, to control the minds of the American people, we're looking at something very dangerously close to George Orwell's 1984. And that should alarm all Americans from the left and the right who have a true respect for freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
One of the things that it seems that our system of laws have protected in terms of speech better than most other forms of speech is political speech, because it's so central to the heart and soul of the American experiment. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn from Middle Tennessee made an announcement to run for the United States Senate, and in it, she made a promise to defund Planned Parenthood. And based on that comment, she was censored by, I guess it was Google. When these companies censor political speech, are they not then trifling with democracy in a way that looks like the heavy hand of the barons of the 1880s and 90s who had so much disproportionate effect on government because of their money?
Yeah, I think that's a really good analogy. Because of the extreme nature of the control of those large companies in terms of American life, economic life, we had antitrust statutes. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. These companies, Google and the others, are begging for a similar antitrust statutory involvement of government. Mm-hmm. If they continue to go down this route of disrespect for differing opinions, political and otherwise. We already see this taking place in our public universities. And we at Pacific Justice Institute are very alarmed with regard to the extent to which public universities, which were once the open marketplace of ideas, are now becoming the most closed-minded tyrants of ideas that don't agree with a certain philosophy. That the fact that we're seeing this also creeping its way into social media puts us in a very challenging time in American history, none that I think any of us have seen in our lifetime, and one that must be addressed, or the outcome for freedom could be horrific for generations to come.
So when we see opponents to the gospel attempt to marginalize Christians and demonize Christians, their ultimate goal is to silence us, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. Their goal is to vilify us, to silence us, and to snuff us out. Or to quote the Southern Poverty Law Center, to destroy us. That's their mindset. And our response, constructively, has to be the opposite. It has to be to connect, to respect, and to engage in relationships and discussion, to breed understanding, and at the very least, true tolerance. True Christianity is really all about true tolerance. And that's why we all have to work hard to protect it.
Indeed. Though the methods of silencing Christians may be new, the attempts to do so are nothing new. The truths of Christianity have always been a threat to tyrants, to statists, and to sexual anarchists. Dr. D. James Kennedy's life ministry was to defend those truths in the broader culture. And his daughter, my friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, joins us now. Jennifer, your dad had really strong convictions about censorship, didn't he?
Oh, he certainly did. My father knew that a sinful culture would always oppose biblical truth and seek to silence it however they could. But though he knew they would do whatever they could to keep Christian truth out of the public square, he was passionate to ensure that Christians would not comply, especially in a nation built on Christian principles and with a First Amendment guaranteeing freedom of speech and freedom of religion. My dad was not afraid to speak out on the most controversial issues because he knew it wasn't about politics, but about God's truth. And he challenged America's pastors to be similarly bold. Never did he do so more passionately than in his barn burner message, "Will the Church Forget?" Here now is a portion of that memorable message from my dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy.
My question today is, will the church forget? Will the church forget what you and they and a great many thousands of others fought for? And what some gave the last full measure of devotion to defend? For the principles upon which this nation was founded, of liberty and not license, of godliness and piety and morality, this is what this nation was built upon. Will those things be forgotten? Alas, dear friends, I'm afraid that not only will they, will the church forget them? To a large degree, the church has already forgotten them. Does it make any difference? Well, How about Reverend Jonas Clark? You all remember Jonas Clark, don't you? You've forgotten old Jonas already. Alas and alack. And we owe so much to Jonas. If it weren't for Jonas, you wouldn't be here today. He was a pastor. He was a very influential pastor. He was truly a parson. Now, the word parson comes from the word person. He was the person in a little town called Lexington. And he was, as was case in the case so often then, one of the few people, or sometimes the only person, who had an education beyond high school. And therefore, he was the parson. He was the most influential man in town. Most of the people attended his church. One particular night, he was having dinner with some folks that you will remember, like John Hancock, Samuel Adams. It was a very distinctive night because it was the night when Paul Revere made his famous ride. And these two great patriots asked him the question. The question was, if war came, would the people of Lexington fight? And what did Jonas Clark say? Oh, my goodness gracious me, oh my. We've never talked about such things as fighting for our liberties. I don't know. I'd have to give this some consideration. That's not what he said. He said, when asked, would the people of Lexington fight? The Reverend Jonas Clark said, I have trained them for just that. And the next day, the shot heard round the world was fired in the parking lot of his church, only a few yards from his parsonage. And the people that were killed were members of his congregation. And Reverend Jonas Clark looked down with great anguish on the bodies of those who had died and made this statement, which we should never forget. From this day will be dated the liberty of the world. It began in a church. Here is where the battle is the hottest today, if we don't speak on them, who will? We are involved in a great conflict for the soul of this nation, for the soul of the world, and many are spectators on the side. Dear one, Christ wants you to be a soldier for Him. Pray that God will fill you with intensity to do whatever you can to become involved, to get out of the bleachers and onto the field and become a participant in the greatest struggle in the history of the world. A struggle for goodness, a struggle for godliness, a struggle of Christ against Satan. That is the battle that we are in.
One person who is a genuine spiritual soldier for Christ is Lila Rose of Live Action, who battles tirelessly for the unborn. She has the righteous intensity and conviction to more than match her opponents in the pro-abortion movement. But since they could not defeat her ideas, they found another way around her, censorship, something we are seeing more and more in our day. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Live Action is a pro-life organization leading the social media movement for our country, exposing the truth about abortion, about what's happening to the preborn child, and advocating for the rights of the defenseless. We haven't seen the results.
For years now, Lila Rose and Live Action have been making powerful pro-life videos seen on social media. One of her recent series reveals what actually happens in an abortion.
I'm Dr. Anthony Levitino. And in the early part of my career as an OBGYN, I performed over 1,200 abortions. One day, after completing one of those abortions, I looked at the remains of a preborn child whose life I had ended, and all I could see was someone's son or daughter. I came to realize that killing a baby at any stage of pregnancy for any reason is wrong.
These are grotesque, brutal acts against completely innocent human beings, and it's an inhumanity that we're allowing, a wild west of abortion that we're allowing in our country, and many people, the media, in politics, turn a blind eye.
This particular series shows in detail, without being gory, how abortion kills an unborn child, no matter how small. And the series is done with great compassion.
I want you to know today, no matter where you're at or what you've done, you can change.
What the abortionists do in secret, Lila Rose aims to shout from the housetops. Of this four-part series on what actually happens in an abortion at each stage, she writes, on Facebook and YouTube, the four videos have a combined 85 million views.
Make a decision today to protect the preborn. Thank you for your time.
It's a new day when an independent pro-life organization can manage to gain that kind of viewership through social media alone. But now some of the gatekeepers in the social media platforms are starting to crack down on those with a pro-life perspective. Watch this interchange as Senator Ted Cruz recently grilled Facebook President Mark Zuckerberg at a hearing before Congress.
There are a great many Americans who I think are deeply concerned that Facebook and other tech companies are engaged in a pervasive pattern of bias and political censorship.
I understand where that concern is coming from because Facebook and the tech industry are located in Silicon Valley, which is an extremely left-leaning place. I'm very committed to making sure that Facebook is a platform for all ideas.
This battle related to how social media impacts the struggle for life does not just affect America. Recently, Lila Rose in Live Action decried how Google, Twitter, and Facebook decided to censor pro-life ads geared toward a recent referendum in Ireland to amend its constitution to allow abortion. This censorship meant that only the pro-abortion side of the issue was heard in all major forms of media.
Well, we've definitely seen some challenges over the years working with Google, working with Facebook. We've had YouTube videos mysteriously get pulled from our YouTube channel, and there have been complaints associated with them, so YouTube says we're checking those out, so we've actually had to have our lawyers send YouTube letters asking them to cease and desist censoring the videos, so that's been problematic.
Well, in my heart and my mind, you know, life begins when the mother thinks it begins, not when anybody else thinks it begins. For some women, it's before they conceive. For some women, it's never. Even after they deliver, it's still a problem, not a baby.
Over the years, though, we've been able to successfully put those videos back up. We've also had a few issues with Facebook. Overall, because we have such an enormous platform on Facebook, the biggest for the movement, over 700,000 likes, a lot of content that we generate that reaches millions of people. We've had some issues with Facebook advertising not wanting to continue to promote videos that show the reality of abortion, some of our investigative films. So all in all, we have to work through those challenges, but we're still effectively reaching millions. On a weekly basis, and we continue to do that.
Despite opposition and censorship from social media, including the ongoing refusal of Twitter to take pro-life ads from liveaction.org, Lila Rose continues to persist to get the pro-life message out because of what is ultimately at stake.
We're made in the image and likeness of God, recognizing that life is precious, our lives and the lives of other people. And the more we do that and the more meaning and the richness we discover in life through that we have a transformation. And I see it happening, and I'm excited to continue to try to do my part. And I believe because this is in the end God's work and God's nation, the world's in God's hands, we'll see success to protect every human life in our country.
What Lila Rose is experiencing is nothing more than viewpoint discrimination, something that's generally illegal. In her case, it's dressed up as tolerance. It is not discrimination from the government, but instead it comes from what are essentially media monopolies that control the Internet's public square. This sort of censorship is happening more and more to Christians and conservatives. If you don't fully understand what's happening and how to counter it, we could see the Christian message silenced in America. We have developed an important new resource that you need to have to stand for the freedom of the gospel. Our own John Raid joins us now to tell us more about this resource. You know, John, censorship is not hard to understand, but some of the subtle ways it's been done in the past, like marginalizing you or calling you names, is altogether different than what's happening now, isn't it?
That's right. We've seen that happen throughout history. Now what's happening is on the internet, which is really the world's largest public square, Christian and conservative voices are being outright censored by major companies like Google, like Facebook. This is an issue that's just now coming to the public's attention, but we've actually been researching this for over a year now and have put together a really important new resource, the book called The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age. And this book gives an overview. It's not available in bookstores. You can only get it through this ministry. Gives an overview of who the companies are, the major companies that are involved in this viewpoint discrimination, and what we as Christians can do to stand against it.
John, why do I need to have this book? What's in it that I need to know about the impact of this kind of censorship?
Because the reality is that ultimately, Frank, this is a gospel issue. The internet is now the place where especially people under 40 go to get all of their information. A huge amount of that information comes via Google, the world's largest search engine. Much more of it comes through Facebook, the world's largest social media outfit. These are companies that are explicitly censoring Christian and conservative viewpoints. And so as they do that, what they're doing is limiting the ability for the gospel to go forth, for biblical truth to go forth. And as we erode that biblical and Christian truth, it puts people's souls in danger, and it also puts the foundations of our freedom at danger.
I think this brand new book needs to be in the hands of every Christian and everyone concerned about the future of freedom in America. And we'll send you The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. And John, we have another resource to go along with the book, sort of as a companion resource. This is something Dr. Kennedy spoke about a long time ago, more than 10, 15 years ago, the emerging censorship of Christian speech.
That's right. He recognized that there was always going to be that battle between belief and unbelief, between truth and falsehood, and that there were those who were setting out to undermine Christian truth in America, which was really the basis of our freedom. And so he spoke powerfully on that issue in these two messages that we've put together in this two DVD set called Thieves of Liberty, where Dr. Kennedy looks at the Christian foundations of our freedom as Americans and at the attempts to come in and take away that freedom by undermining and eroding Christian truth.
We are also producing a special documentary program on this very subject to air nationally in July, and your generous donation will help us to do that as well. We must get the word out on this enormous threat to freedom. So please, give a generous donation to help us with this vital work. We will thank you by sending you our book, The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age, just off the presses. And if you're able to give a donation of $50 or more, we will also include the two DVD set of Dr. Kennedy's messages, Thieves of Liberty. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. For quite some time now, we have been warning you that the transgender and homosexual movement is on a collision course with our First Amendment guarantees of religious freedom. A powerful member of the government's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, has even said that in those cases where there is a conflict between sexual liberty and religious liberty, sexual liberty should prevail, she said. From pro-life videos being banned by social media gatekeepers to Christian bakers and florists being hauled into court merely for freely exercising their Christian conscience, the movement to push aside the clear protections of the First Amendment in favor of invented rights of sexual liberty is running at full throttle. A proposed new law in California would make what it calls sexual orientation change efforts an unlawful business practice. In the guise of a consumer protection bill, Assembly Bill 2943 would outlaw advertising offering to engage in or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with an individual. The language of the bill is so broad that it seems to allow for the removal of the Bible from bookstores because of the Bible's historic teachings on sexual immorality. Even recommending certain Christian books could be deemed evidence of so-called fraudulent practices. Whether the bill passes or fails this time, I hope you can hear the warning bell ringing. There is a clear and powerful political movement in America aiming to silence, punish, and if necessary, imprison Christians for holding to biblical views on human sexuality. The question for each of us is whether we will nonetheless stand strong for truth, or whether we will fold in the face of this cultural pressure. As Jesus himself has told us, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
I don't think the ultimate aim is to kill us. It is to get rid of us ideologically.
You know, freedom is a very central theme to the Bible. In fact, it has been said that freedom is the central theme of the Bible.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.